Greetings. This is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the Wyndham Hotel, where the Prophets Conference, the Orbs, and what is the name of this conference again? Orbs and what is the name of the full name of the conference that we're? It's the Prophets Conference, Orbs, and
the veil is lifting. Connecting to other realms.
All right. So, but we have quite a few people here at this conference. It's been an awesome conference. Everybody's having a great time here. We've got Michal Ledwith, Freddie Silva, this strange character named James Gillen was just on, and quite a few other people. Hope and Randy Mead showed their orb film, and during the presentations, they're actually taking pictures of orbs just throughout the whole conference building. So it's pretty amazing. We won't have calls tonight, mainly because the way we're doing this is I'm actually broadcasting from my cell phone, so I can't hear if anybody's calling in. So don't bother to call in, and we're just going to start interviewing some of the guests here that are having some amazing experiences and some of the people presenting here, and just go with the flow and see how it goes. So, again, thank you all for tuning in to As You Wish Talk Radio, and we're going to go ahead with the interviews and have a great evening, and we'll just go from one person to the other and see how things are going and see who walks up and wants to talk. So, greetings. So, can you say your name? Or?
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie Touche.
Anne-Marie, and what brings you to the conference?
I came in as one of the talking stick presenters.
Great.
I have some really unique pictures that are a little bit beyond the orbs where the veil has actually lifted.
Mm-hmm.
From my journey to Mount Shasta, California last year in July and October, I was able to connect with what I believe is a hollow earth.
Mm-hmm.
And through Diane Robbins' book, Telos, The Hollow Earth, we went there with about 160 people.
Oh, great.
And we went there because they said be there. And when we showed up, you'd seen the incredible pictures of the actual beings that are not from this realm and a manifestation of an orb that turned into a man.
Oh,
he actually physically showed himself.
Yeah, I know the guy that wrote the foreword to her book.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy right
now.
but I love her work.
Yeah, she's moved to Shasta now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I've gone out of body to the inner earth and seen the beings there and communicated with them. And you know, they're very concerned with the earth and the condition of the earth because they share the water and the air and things like that, and what we're doing on the surface. Or have they given you any information like that? Or like
they just want to raise everyone's consciousness and awareness that basically they hear our messages to save the planet, and it's up to us to for the awareness of it. But they do give the message that there is, you know, they are going to open the gates to part of an inner earth when the time comes.
Great, yeah.
So that was
the same message that we've been getting.
Oh, cool.
As well.
Yeah, so that's validation that we are not going to be perished on this planet, that there is an inner earth. According to them, all the planets have a hollow earth.
Yeah.
We're just one of the few living on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So there is more.
Yeah, most of the civilized, highly advanced races actually live on the interior of the planet because, you know, you can be taken out any time by big meteor or something of that nature, or a quasar or some quark or something going off somewhere else. But what I find interesting is that a lot of people are having this connection or all having the same message. They're getting the almost identical same message. And, you know, and it's all about consciousness and rising to the occasion and that we need to clean up our own mess, but they'll help us in the process. And also Mother Earth is getting ready to do her thing.
She's in menopause, changing. Menopause.
Yeah.
But the change works.
Yeah.
If we change our thoughts, it changes our lives. By believing in ourselves, we can then believe in miracles and manifest our passions by coming with love from our heart. It's all about the heart center because that's where the seat of the soul is.
Yeah.
It's the heart. So if we come with love, no judgments, no expectations, all those other that we have here is
ultimate,
pure love.
Ultimate power in the universe.
Exactly.
Set everything into motion. Great. Yeah, is there anything you want to say to the listening audience? Or
We just want you all to tune into your hearts. Look in and look up into the sky, look up into the clouds. Be aware that we are not alone.
Okay.
Once again, I'm Anne-Marie Touche. If you want to contact me, it's dfwpsychic.com. And my email is aquarianstarseed@yahoo.com.
Oh, awesome. Thanks so much for coming
Thank
on the
you.
Show. And we're going to move it around here and interview some of the other attendees. Ah, here's an unsuspecting person there. How are you doing today?
Hi, James. How are you?
Are you enjoying the conference?
Very much so, yeah.
Good.
Particularly your talk, actually.
Oh, thank you very much.
Truly.
Yeah, it's hard to fake all those pictures, you know, and get them up on the, on the screen there.
Yeah.
But I wish I knew how to do that anyway, but I think it's a great conference, meeting some really good people here.
Yeah, it is. It's another manifestation of our advance from material consciousness, which is complete delusion. Our own hard science, quantum physics, 60, 70 years ago has told us that, but culturally, we're still, it seems like we're in the 19th century, still not, we kind of skipped
Newtonian,
the
20th. Yeah, we forgot. We're still back in the Newtonian dark ages.
Our 19th century lived with toys, but, yeah, so here in the orbs, the ability of digital photography to picture amazingly complex, I would say, organisms
of
life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, it's like a breakthrough akin to the microscope, I think, when
there's
a whole other world here. But this, I think this, in a sense, is even more important because, again, We're so drenched in the delusion that there's something called solid matter.
Yeah.
That our five senses tell us, and the saying knowledge is power. We really need to grasp the knowledge that this is not the case, and that the universe is vibration and frequency and energy and consciousness, and that we are far more limitless, free beings than we've been really conditioned to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now this little digital camera is amazingly,
exactly.
Every household can be participating in this evidence that there is something more subtle, and that the very intelligent, apparently very intelligent forms all around us.
Oh, yeah.
That we've been oblivious of.
And science is actually, you know, totally validating the seers, you know, and the clairvoyants and the masters that have been talking about this for so long, and science is finally catching up and being able to document that there is many worlds out there, and we're in this sea of consciousness, and everything's connected, and now we got to get the rest of the world to catch up to that reality.
Really.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, James.
We'll be seeing each other soon. Ah, another victim.
James, good evening.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I need to pause and give thanks to all of the higher energies for all of this wonder that's going on, this conference here, this opportunity for all of these enthusiasts to get together and share their energy and just experience all of this wonderful new energy that's coming in. You know, I must confess, you got me hooked on it a year ago. I'd heard, you know, very little about the orb phenomenon until I visited Sapa Sanctuary and spent a few nights there gazing out into the stars.
Yeah.
Up on the mountain. What awesome energy. Yeah.
Did you get to see some UFOs while you were there as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, last night, though, I was dreadfully disappointed, although I was there, but I bailed early.
Yeah.
And the big mothership came in, I found out the next morning.
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot.
I know. But
there's an old joke there. A lot of people, you know, they go to the bathroom to be out there for like an hour. And they go, I got to go to the bathroom. And they go to the bathroom. And right when they shut the door, you know, you hear everybody screaming and yelling, you know.
Big opportunity. Like,
That just happens. But you just keep coming back, you know.
Yeah.
They keep showing up.
You know, I think anyone that shows up there is blessed.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm blessed by being there. I love
you're blessed. Oh God, you know, we're all blessed to be in that incredible energy and all of that, you know, wonderful work that you're doing there to just to present a platform for everyone to come and experience for themselves.
Yeah,
the fact that we are not alone, that we are multidimensional light beings that are waking up, and everyone else needs to really pay attention to what's going on because it's just awesome.
When you say it's all about personal experience and rather than having somebody tell you what's going on and everything else, I think the real key to anything is personal experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it's real for you and,
yeah,
and just not somebody else's story again.
Yeah, there's an old saying, you know, a mountain, a downhill skier can tell you all about what the journey was, but you'll never know until you go up and come down the mountain yourself.
Yeah.
And so being there on the night watch and watching the mountain and all of the UFOs, multidimensional light ships and everything coming in and out and moving overhead as well. And
yeah.
All of the orbs. My God. I'm a total fanatic on it now.
You get hooked on it.
Yeah, I wasn't having any luck for a while, and then I finally kept hearing, you know, Maya Ledwith say you've got to form a commitment, you've got to form a pattern, and you've got to
get a relationship and get a relationship going with
it. And like the delightful young lady and her husband who earlier in the day that actually had formed a relationship with the orbs at home with a Sony camcorder.
Is that Hope and Randy Mead that did the presentation that you're referring to? Oh, is that the talking stick?
That was the talking stick presentation.
Yeah. I missed that. I had another radio I had to deal with.
Yeah, they had, she had formed a relationship with him and got her husband last Christmas to buy her a Sony camcorder, nothing with any bells and whistles on it, and started filming every night and every morning before meditation, and she had these little orbs just moving all over the place. I mean, in motion.
Yeah, I heard she was talking to them like they're pets or something, her loving, like a little child.
Yeah, hello.
And, you know, we have people come up to the ranch and they bring bubble makers, you know, and they're real childlike. There's a couple of people that come up and these women, and they're from England, and they're very childlike and they have a lot of fun and they bring bubbles and they blow them. And sure enough, the orbs just surround them everywhere. It's amazing because of that childlike innocence. And then we have somebody that's real hardcore scientist, skeptical, come out there sometimes, and the whole thing, they empty the whole area. But they do. The ships have been showing up for them as well, and it turns them over in their consciousness. And I have a couple scientists that came up to totally debunk all of it and debunk everything. And they had it in their face. They had ships come right up, power up right over their heads and turn. And now I can't get rid of them. You know, one's camping there right now. So it's
wonderful.
Yeah. But it's good to see them turn around and get people with degrees and physicists and things like that, you know, because they put all this investment into this little box that they live in. And you know, to see them bust out of that box. And usually you do it by just talking to the base, pure intent, open mind, loving heart people. That's what pulls them out of it, out of that program.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, because the people that show up at the ranch are definitely of a spiritually higher caliber.
Yeah.
I know when I was there, there were, 150, 200 people, and it was like picking up where we left off.
Yeah.
With old family.
Yeah.
The energy. I mean,
it was like walking into the fifth dimension with all the everybody there, family,
and
related to each other on a very high level.
Yeah. The minute you pull onto the property, you feel the energy.
Yeah.
It's just overwhelming. Yeah. Yeah. I had a dear friend who you probably talked much with, Haya Shaw, up in Victoria, British Columbia. Actually, when she pulled onto the property, she said she became ill for a moment from just the overwhelming presence.
Yeah,
of
you
the,
have to adjust to the energy.
Energy.
Yeah,
to adjust, and when she left as well, she said the same thing happened to her.
Yeah. That's the thing. A lot of people don't want to leave. They come there and they feel their families back and everything, and they want to stick around.
Well, I plan on getting there a bit early this year and a little bit extra.
Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Get together and do some work.
Yes, we do.
All right.
James.
Thank you so much.
Bless you for all that you do.
Oh, thanks
thank
so
you.
Much for coming on the show.
Thank you, James.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great, James. Fellow rancher that you are. Nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm enjoying the conference. It's really great. I came to it from astrology and astronomy aspect, and I've been in Brazil twice and Ireland once and all over India in 2007, and the orbs were in all of my photos anywhere I was in the world. And I thought that was really interesting. And so they started to show up, and we had a dialogue. And it's very interesting. It is all over the world, and it's everybody. It's from the grocer who's bagging the groceries to the rogue scientist. I mean, if Emmanuel Bilaskowski was alive today, I'd propose to him. You know, I'd love that man.
Yeah.
But it's for everyone, and it's happening.
I think it's what's nice is some of the people are like Boeing engineers with Skunk Works, and they've got triple PhDs. And they're coming up to the ranch, and they're having their minds blown. And then they're, you know, actually they went on the air with the Art Bell Show, and they testified. They said, this is real. And then the next day they're going, oh, my God, what did I do? You know, I hope I don't get fired for this. But it's nice having all these people coming, you know, to the ranch and experiencing it. And then, you know, the PhDs. But to me, it's not about proof. It's about having your own personal experience up there. And that's more what I'm out for. People want me to prove it to them. I just said, it's not between you and me, it's between you and spirit. You know, go out in the field and meditate and see what happens. And if they do that, they have amazing experiences.
I think, too, it's becoming more in the mainstream. We're aware that Pluto and Uranus have gone through polar shifts and that Jupiter's atmosphere and the moon is now with the atmosphere, and all of these things are now in the mainstream, you know, general public. So the Pandora's lid is off the box. It's just a time now for us to dialogue it and embrace it and take us to the next level.
Yeah, the great shift is on. And
it's on.
And shift happens, you know.
I didn't tell anyone. Well, it's because I'm a little nervous. It's Patty O'Brien, and I'm down here at the Orbs Conference. It's my first time here, and it's really great to be with like-minded people and like-hearted people and get to share photos and the ones that you take that where you have things that materialize and dematerialize and orbs dancing and lights and vortexes, and to really get that documentation. Going back to the scientists, they have three ways of measuring consciousness, and one is the mirror theory, and I forget the other two, but these are off the charts, and it's really challenging us today, and I think that's what's exciting. So
I love the pictures where people are disappearing. They're like, you see right through them, and they're half in and half out, and it totally aligns with science because they're just moving their frequencies up, and, you know, they're going from a particle or to a wave, basically, and then some of them actually, you can see a wave around them when it's happening because we're going in and out. Anyway, from physical to spiritual and back and forth anyway. So, or whether they say particle to a wave, we're only here 50% of the time.
Well, for me, it's great to know, and it's validating, and I really appreciate the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
And your books. I got the DVD, so I'm going to go home and watch it again. There was so much coming at me that I know, you know, and then I'm connecting with my personal experience. So I want to go back and glean some more of the universal things that were there that I know that I wasn't getting at all.
I've had people call me up and they say, I've watched your DVD 7 times and I'm still trying to absorb it. You know, because it covers so much information. It covers everything from near-death experiences to UFOs to the other planes and dimensions. The masters and how it ties into religions and everything. And so a lot of people, when they watch it the first time, their mind just kind of shuts down, and they have to go back and watch it again, and then it really sinks in.
I want to freeze frame.
Yeah.
Freeze frame and just look at a couple of those, because there was so much there, and they were so well shot.
Yeah.
You know, like the helmet picture with the guy on the motorcycle. Was
that
you?
No, it was somebody else. It was a kid, and his father's an electrical engineer that took that picture, and he said, does anybody know what this is? Because I have no idea. And he didn't want to admit it was obvious. It was a UFO hovering right over his son.
Very obvious.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, James.
Coming on the show. Ah, next victim.
Hello.
Everybody laughs.
Michelle's this incarnate Palladium that sends out this bliss energy that's hitting everybody around her, and she won't admit it, but. But she just changes people by just being in their presence.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so honored that you would say that about me. I'm learning that about myself right now.
Yeah.
And I didn't – I was afraid to
admit it because I thought it would sound like I was had an ego, and I don't want to have an ego. I don't want to be about that. I just love
it's not people. Ego. It's just energy, and it's just there, and it's good to acknowledge it and use it as you do to lift people and get people in touch with their own joy and their own bliss.
That's why I'm here, and I realize that now. I didn't embrace it before. I was afraid of it.
Yeah.
And I think you're teaching us to let go of fear, and that's one of the things I got out of your presentation was that if you just release it, 50% of everything is just showing up.
Yeah.
Just coming to the edge and actually taking the jump, because there are angel wings there to catch us, and they take us where we need to go, even though we don't know where we need to go. We can't control it.
Yeah.
Someone else is really controlling it the way I see it. I just show up. That's what I did.
You see, that's the last thing you have to do is give you enough control. Mm-hmm. And I see
the floodgates open when I did that.
And the other thing is, after giving up control, you have to make sure and not, you know, but the whole thing, don't swell with flattery, but don't shrink with when they come after you either with fear, you know, because you're going to get both of them. And you just
I don't want to do that.
Keep your center, you know, and just be who you are and be authentic, and it works.
That's why I loved being around you, because you're so real. You're so grounding.
I'm a
conductor. No, you're so grounding. And as I was sitting there, I don't know, I watched a movie. I don't know if you all felt this way, but I watched the movie, and I was bawling. I was crying because I was really connecting with what you were saying. And what you were saying, you're reaching a large audience. A lot of people aren't quite there yet. And, you know, some of my friends look at me and say, what? Are we going to put a jacket on you pretty soon? I'm like, no, I'm still here. I'm good. These things are starting to happen.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that started with me was this dolphin connection.
Yeah.
And I heard the dolphins talking to me, and my friends were saying, well, how does that sound? And I say, it doesn't sound like Flipper, and it doesn't sound like Michelle. We're your dolphin family.
Yeah.
But basically what they're teaching us is that we need to have pod mentality. That's what this time on the planet's about.
Definitely.
We need to unite. We're not single beings. We have these vehicles called bodies, but we're spirits inside of these bodies, and now what we have to do is help each other and be transparent and not have the fear, the greed, the all those negative connotations, but just be in a place that's from our soul, loving from our soul. And they're teaching us about unity through community, and they keep telling me this, and not in that voice, but it's an impression I get, and they're starting to
the
show
feeling,
up.
And you feel one with them, and you feel that pod consciousness, and that
do.
Oneness, and when you're interacting with them, and then, you know, they trigger, because, you know, the same spirits that we are, dolphins are as well, and whales, I said, elephants as well. We all come from
elephants,
the same.
Turtles, whales.
Yeah, come from that same spirit line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that, but they are our brothers, and there's different, you might say, groups or soul groups that incarnate into different animals, because even animals have a soul.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really no difference between the human soul and the dolphin soul and the whale soul and the elephant soul. It's the same, same one coming in.
Feeling that.
Yeah.
Definitely feeling that.
The more you get around them and don't treat them as a stupid animal, and you relate to them as an intelligent being, they'll act that way.
Mm-hmm.
They won't.
They've been calling to me, and I've gone out on, they called to me in a meditation. I went out. I knew that something special was going to happen. I went out on a dolphin adventure, and they all came, and there was an albino dolphin.
Oh, nice.
And then.
I saw one too.
And the cat said, oh, no, you didn't see an albino dolphin. I said, it was white. And he said, oh, he was probably showing his belly to mate. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, okay, Captain, I got your number.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, he said, oh, my gosh, it's an albino. Do you realize how rare this is? And I thought, I knew it. I called it.
Yeah.
And then we went and we saw a blue whale. And the whale had been in my meditation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is history in the making, because the blue whale usually leaves. I live near Dana Point.
This is
Dana Point, California.
Uh-huh.
And he said the blue whale usually leaves by October. And this was the day before my birthday. It was November 4th.
Yeah.
And I knew the whale would be there. And he said, this is history in the making, because they are never here this late. And I said, oh, my gosh, I feel like she waited for me, because that was my sign, I guess. And then that was the best birthday present I think I could have ever gotten. But they're really speaking to us now.
They are.
And a lot of people are actually starting to listen. And when I meet people at events like this, I can tell, oh, you have that dolphin energy.
Yeah.
And it seems to relate with Lemuria. It seems to relate with people who love from their heart,
mm-hmm.
and who are playful and joyous,
yeah.
and childlike. And that's why they're telling me to lead sacred journeys to Mount Shasta,
mm-hmm.
to Peru, to your ranch.
Right.
So this is being born right now.
Uh-huh.
My Mount Shasta journey is for Wesak, and we just found out today that you'll be at Wesak, I'll be at Wesak.
Yeah,
I'm leading a group.
Awesome.
I don't even have it put on my website or brochure. They're telling me to do it, and I'm listening. And
yeah.
saying, okay, we'll do it. Let's just jump in and go. And
that's
why I know.
Trusting that inner voice and just moving on. It sometimes against all odds, you
yeah.
know. It may not make sense to anybody else, but if you stay focused on that, things manifest.
That's what I see happening. And I know that just talking to you today about the ranch, I knew I would be coming this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it'll be July 11th because that's the date I felt.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We're going to work that out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll definitely
yeah,
work that out.
We're going to shake on it when we leave here,
yeah.
right? I know.
We had one of the shows I was doing, right, talked earlier with about Meg Blackburn's show. I was on the show broadcasting from Santa Cruz
mm-hmm.
at 26th Street on a beach there. And I'll never forget this event, but this dolphin comes out of the blue, just comes all the way up out of the water and just sits there staring at me while I'm on the show doing a broadcast. And it got an incredible transmission, a feeling of that pod consciousness, that oneness. But I also got a feeling that they're very concerned about the oceans and what's happening in the oceans as well. And what's interesting is that there was no sadness about it. It was a concern, and they were still in their joy and everything else, which almost made it worse because I know the condition of the ocean and what's happening with all the dead zones and, you know, the fish are disappearing and everything else. And they're taking it much lighter than I was. And it made you want to get involved even more to, you know, start cleaning up the environment.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key, is not to focus on the negative aspects of
yeah.
it, but to acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah.
And then use our collective consciousness to raise everyone else's vibration and consciousness
mm-hmm.
to do something about it. It's
yeah.
time to quit talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's like the Nike commercial, just do it.
Exactly.
Let's just do it. And it's about walking your talk. You
yeah.
know? And I'm stepping into that now. It's challenging sometimes.
Oh, it is.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you have like family and relationship and mothers and fathers and all those things.
Spouses.
Yeah.
Children.
Yeah, and you know what I find is if you really stay the course and be authentic and walk your talk, they'll
mm-hmm.
follow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep trying to pull them along and heal them and make them get it, they won't.
You're talking my story.
Yeah,
now that's my language.
And that's what I did. I mean, my whole family followed me up to Washington. I mean, they were in California, and they're living on the coast and things like that. And I was telling them, hey, you guys, there's things coming up, and there's events happening, and you really need to get off the coast. And they're going, yeah, right, you know, lunatic, you know. I'm like, yeah, go talk to your ET friends or whatever. You know?
My father-in-law,
same yeah.
thing in New Orleans. They
yeah.
live in Chalmette, Louisiana. I don't know if you know where that is, but that's
no.
right, the worst part of Central.
Hurricane yeah.
Katrina. My father-in-law, everyone thought he was nuts. My mother-in-law said, I am not moving to Slidell.
Yeah.
You know, she just
uh-huh.
did not want to do it. She had lived in the home her whole life, and he knew
yeah.
something. He didn't know the extent. But he felt it, and
mm-hmm.
they moved, and my brother-in-law moved, and they were very grateful that they did and that they had the
yeah.
message to do that. But you're right. I still live on the coast. I have a house in Huntington Beach and
uh-huh.
a house close by, but I'm getting messages now,
yeah.
and that's why I'm meeting people like you that are helping me get there. It's hard to explain that to, you know, a teenage
yeah.
daughter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who's not quite...
And they're
yeah.
locked into all the
crap. She's all about meeting me. And
yeah. Material world and
yeah.
all that stuff.
Yeah. But I surrendered.
Yeah.
And I did. I said I let go. I let God. Because that's my languaging. I know
yeah.
a lot of people's spirit. I just know that we all just need to get there and just do it the way we need to do it. And I did. I surrendered. I said I wish to serve. I wish to grow. I
yeah.
wish to know all I need to know. And I'm in a constant state of gratitude. Because they're making themselves known to us now, and we're not crazy.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
really glad to know that there's more people like me that, you know, I'm new on this path. I haven't been doing it 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And at first I was really afraid to embrace it, and I thought I was, you know, am I losing my mind? But they're letting me know by meeting all you people that I'm not losing my mind. It's real. And
we're all hired, you know, to surround you with this illusion.
My definition of gods is, because everything is an abbreviation for something, G-O-D-S, God's group, overseeing our destiny spiritually.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yay.
Yeah.
Let that one let go.
I think it's interesting how the original scriptures, when in the Bible, when they talk about, and Michal Ledwith talked a lot about this, about the Elohim, and it's plural. And I've always said that, and it says the Father created the gods who created the heavens and earth, and it's just there's a step down, you know. And I always think about that. Well, who was God's mother, you know? And what about the feminine aspect, you know, and bringing that in as well. And in the ancient times, the God was feminine. In almost the real ancient traditions, you look at it, and it was feminine, and it birthed all creation, and all creation was one and one big family. And I think that's what we're moving back to right now, because there's this huge influx of feminine energy coming in,
yeah,
especially from the Pleiades and from these all the, yeah. And it's bringing that around now to bring me back to realizing that all life is connected, and it was all birthed from the same source.
Yeah.
And
hallelujah. I'm all about that feminine
energy. I love what you're saying, too, about the cultures, and you know, we have to transcend these cultural boundaries and religious boundaries and get back to realizing that we are spirit, and in spirit we're one, and that and it's okay. I mean, it was part of the plan. The diversity was part of the plan, you know, for God to experience more of itself, you know, whatever you want to call God. But in the diversity, you can still be unique yet one with everything else at the same time, which is a hard concept for people to grasp, that you don't have to lose the diversity, but you can still realize it's all connected, it all came from the same source.
Absolutely. And I think so many people are being drawn to Peru now.
Yeah.
From what I've read, I understand the Tibetan energy was more a masculine energy, and the Peruvian energy is more a feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Peru, it was 2 years ago now, that was where I got my first orb photo. It wasn't my first orb photo, because I've gone back and looked at old photos and seen them in my old photos, but that was the first one that I saw. And I showed you that picture with the Incan faces.
Oh, yeah.
When I came, I said, oh, my gosh, what is this? And everybody on my trip, they were more enlightened than me. You got an orb. And I said, what's an orb? Does it have a brain? What are you talking about? So all these people were trying to explain to me what it was, and when I zoomed in, I said, oh, my gosh, there's a face in here. It's like an Incan guy. And so I came home, and I wanted to know more about it, and I Googled orbs, and the Prophets Conference on Orbs in Sedona came up, and that's how I got to that conference and connected with. I met my good friend right here, and I know that I'm connecting with my star brothers and sisters. That's what
that little orb knew all this, and in the background, snickering.
Yeah.
Oh, we got her.
Exactly, yeah. So we're going to wake her up. Woo, they whispered in my ear. And, of course, I went home. My brothers. That's a light refraction. And I'm like, okay, you're just not there yet. Okay, move on. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I went back. I was so drawn to Peru.
Yeah.
And I called home and said, I am not the same person.
Yeah.
I'm coming home a different person. And my family had a hard time understanding that. I said, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm embracing it. I love it. So I went back to Peru 6 months later and brought my family with me.
Uh-huh.
And they saw. I said, and you know, a funny thing happened. Do you see these earrings I'm wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Peace and love, right? That's what I've been about my whole life, is peace and love. And my husband has bought me these beautiful peace and love real diamond earrings. And I didn't care about the real and the money and all that.
Yeah.
And when I went back the second time to Machu Picchu, we get in the hotel and he said, where's your earring? It was missing.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh my gosh, it's really? And we went back and looked at the pictures, and all of a sudden I had peace come over me. Because if I was attached to anything material, it was that earring.
Because
they represented what I'm about.
Uh-huh.
And I all of a sudden knew what it was. I was number one gifting Pachamama, Mother Earth. That was my gift.
Yeah.
And I said, this is about half of my heart will always be here. And
it needs
to stay here.
Yeah.
So I came home, found these $20. I'm good to go. I got my earrings.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it's about. So then now I know why I'm supposed to lead Sacred Journeys to Peru, because people are connecting with, you're the one to take me.
Yeah.
And I am leading one November 9th through the 20th, because I'm supposed to be there for 11-11. That's just what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll be there for 11-11, and that's my first Sacred Journey that I'm leading. And
now, when is that again?
My Sacred Journey to Peru?
Yeah.
11-9. So I'll be, I wanted to do it so that I can have sacred ceremony.
Yeah.
I do Peruvian shaman ceremony. We use shamans.
Uh-huh.
And at two of these ceremonies, we went to this place where I had a significant out-of-body experience.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I have a feeling they're orchestrating something up there that will be happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, I'm not going to promise people, ooh, we're going to get something. I've just been given this information through, I don't know, that inner, And so I said, okay, this is what's happening. So I have my tour guide, Washington, who's our tour guide, and we have shamans that will do ceremony with us. But I know that I need to be in ceremony on 11-11. So that's why I'm going on 11-9.
You sure don't squeeze the shaman.
Beautiful. I don't know. I might want to try that.
Yeah, never know. You might like it.
Yeah. I know. Right. It's being born right now. You know, I'm stepping into it. I keep asking, okay, I guess I have a business now, and I didn't know it. And I said, what's the name of it? And they said, A Circle of Radiant Love. So I went and bought the URL, haven't even had the website built yet, haven't done any of that yet, but I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just embracing it and just staying in a constant state of gratitude and bliss. That's
how it manifests, exactly.
Right, because when you're living your passion and you're doing what you're passionate about,
That's what you're here for.
That's why we were born. Well, you know, we raised our hands and said, we'll be there during this shift.
All we have to do is teach
them
love and joy.
Yeah.
Easy job.
Peace out. That's my,
contact
that's
going on.
I know.
In Peru. Oh, my
God. You know, it's important what you're talking about is that, you know, I asked them, I said, okay, why am I here? You know, one time, it was beginning of my journey. And they go, soul evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's why all we're here. And they go, exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
simple. Yeah. Yeah. And I said, well, what about this and this and family and relationships? And they go, doesn't matter. You're here to evolve your soul. Your soul has a program. It has an agenda. It projected into this quantum field here to go from here to here. And you can change it along the way by reconnecting with your soul again and work on that level. But it's tough, you know, because when you come in like that, and especially when you start awakening, you're outside of social consciousness now, and it's hard to stay on track with that soul journey, you know, with that soul purpose. And then you find a guru and follow him, and then there went your unique purpose. It just went out the door. So there are wonderful teachers out there, and they teach amazing things, but it's really important that people stay connected with their own unique purpose and being here and
so learning
in
that
and
right
out.
Now.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, our guides are there orbiting around telling us, you know, just listen. And that's what it's about, listening.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, when we heard voices, they put us in the little padded cell.
Yeah.
We're finally in 2008, and when they understand that this is a communication and a connection, if you listen, then they're going to, you know, you listen and let go, God, and just listen to what they're telling you. You get a message, heed it.
Yeah.
They tell you to stop the car real fast. Stop the car real fast because someone's coming at you and running a red light.
Yeah. I met a woman who was really interesting. She was total played, and you could tell her energy was, and I saw all these lights above her head, like orbs, and she was just wasn't really into any of this stuff. And I said, you know, you have beings all around you, and they're watching over you, and you're here for a major purpose. And she's gone, she was open to it and everything. She goes, that's nice. I said, do you have a camera? And she said, yeah. And I said, bring it over here. And I got it, and I took a picture of it. All the came right out. And she saw all these huge light spheres all around her head, seven of them. And beautiful. Yeah. And I said, that's the seven sisters. Those are the Palladians. And she is. And what's interesting is that her family is, they're a Mexican family. They come from Mexico. And the first two kids are definitely Mexican. They're very dark-skinned and everything else. And here she's fair-skinned and blonde. And, you know, yeah, and I said, I tell you this, but I think you're hybrid. I think there is a little genetic hanky-panky there, which is really okay because it's all under a divine plan. And I said, you need to research this more. And she got so excited and opened up, and it was a major turnaround for her. And the picture is what does it, what did it. When the other stuff, she felt it, and she goes, oh, this feels good and everything else, but she was still kind of locked into social consciousness. When she saw the light spheres above her head, and she said,
it was a light bulb.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, like, there is something going on here. And it really propelled her into her journey. You want to do some on the air here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, just say your name.
I'm Ruth Koliani, and I came down from Alaska. This
All
is
right.
my second orb conference. And actually, I got introduced to orbs on the Esalen Coast, Big Sur Coast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And during a Reiki attunement.
Mm-hmm.
And someone happened to take pictures that I wasn't really into that,
mm-hmm.
into the photograph. But as it turned out, we were surrounded by the cloud of witnesses.
Oh, nice.
And
yeah.
And many, many had faces. And it was a pretty astonishing moment to see those photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my first introduction to orbs. And so, of course, then I had to find out more about that. and I do know that spirit is our teacher.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at photographs as well. And I've been taking orbs for a long time and just never noticed it. Yes.
A lot of people think it's a defect in the film or water spots on the lens.
I hadn't even really seen it
uh-huh.
until I started looking for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so anyway, this particular conference though has a slightly different bent than the last one.
Yeah.
Especially from your presentation.
Oh, thank you.
And so now it's opening up a whole other realm.
Yeah.
For me,
uh-huh.
I'm fairly new to this. I am accustomed to orbs and plasma clouds,
mm-hmm.
and actually I like to call them friends of light.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But a whole world is opening up, and we need to understand that we are so much more than we think we are,
mm-hmm.
and also that we need to look at our relationship to all that is around us and all that is within us.
Definitely.
And I think that's
all connected,
yeah.
Stop the disconnect program that people are running around playing.
Right. And I do need to mention that as far as the planet goes, we need people to help create stewards for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all well and good to say, just do it, but you have to make that connection
yeah.
through interpretation with folks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many young people particularly that are hooked into technology.
Yeah.
And they're not in touch with the Earth.
No, yeah.
And so to foster that connection to the planet, it's going to be very important. So, so there's a poem by Tanaka Shoso that is, it's a care of rivers is not a matter of rivers, but of the human heart.
Mm-hmm.
So until someone can care about something, they're not going to care for it. So
mm-hmm.
you have to create that connection for people to care about it.
Yeah. I agree. I like what I think it was Chief Seattle talked something about how. Take a man out of nature and you harden his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that over and over again. People get in these cubicles and they have all these papers and computers and then they have their nose stuck in numbers and everything else and then they go home and turn on the TV and watch, stare into the box and crack
yeah.
a beer and then go back to work again and they lose. They totally lose their heart connection and they just become numb.
Yeah.
Become zombies.
They numb out.
It's sad to watch that happening, but it's happening on a grand scale. But I see in the future what's happening is there's huge shifts happening and earth change and things like that. And that's why they're happening, because people need to be shaken and they need to be awoken. And you know, what better way to get people to turn inward or turn to God or whatever than a great quake? I mean, when a quake hits, everybody's going, oh, my God, you know, and they're going, God, save me, you know, just get me through this, you know,
as long as no one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Where I am, we get lots of them.
We're all eternal,
you know. It's tragic that it takes a disaster to bring us back.
Yeah.
And it's like the idea of global warming.
Yeah.
And it's now, I think it is going to create a lot more interest in the planet.
Yeah.
In the younger generation.
Well, we're coming out of the me, into the we.
Yeah.
if it's caring about others instead of ourselves. That's the disaster. It wakes you up to realize you have neighbors you can help.
Aren't we now?
People want to give.
Aren't we now in the phase where all the masks are coming down and
all the things
are coming forth?
The apocalypse is what we're in right now, which means the great uncovering. And so everything has come to the surface. And there's still people playing out the dramas of, you know, especially in the political arena, that, I'm here to help, you know, and I'm in there for you, you know, and everything else. And all those masks are coming down too right now, and people are seeing through that.
I have to tell you, it just reminded me of something that just took place at the Mayan 2012 conference in L.A. I met a man, his name's Eric Rankin, and he's an author. He just wrote his first book called The Aquarians.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put the marketing card in my hand, another instance where I felt the energy, and I said, oh my gosh, this is going to be a movie, and this is amazing. He's like you, very real, very down to earth, and we just really connected. And I love the story because it's very simple, and it talks about, it's kind of written Da Vinci Code style, where there's a lot of facts in there. He did the research on the Mayan calendar. He did research on the dolphins. He's got a dory fisherman from Newport Beach in there, and a dolphin trainer from SeaWorld, this, you know, hot-bodied girl. And it's kind of a love story, but it brings in the 11-11. A lot of people are seeing 11-11 on the clocks now, and that's an awakening, right? The 11-11 is really uniting all of us, because what it's saying is, okay, your on switch just went. Okay, now you're on, and what that means is we wake up to the pod mentality.
Exactly.
We become transparent, and it's all about love. Love will lead us. Period. So I'm really just, I all of a sudden I feel like Eric's PR agent, and everybody's buying his book, you know, Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
So I had to just, that came to me just now, that I needed to share that with other people so that they could connect in a simple form.
Oh,
you know, it's very, it makes it so easy.
You know, I love this Tibetan Lama I study with. I'll never forget, he said, you know, the reason there's so few enlightened people on this planet is because it's so damn simple.
I know.
And he said, basically all you do is focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it.
Yep.
And do your time, you know, do your time out in nature. Hold the focus, let go of the past, let go of the little voices and all the little patterns that pop up, and do your time. And he said, and you'll get there. And he said, but all this mental rhetoric and all this complicated programs and structures just doesn't cut it.
It's the kit.
The mental.
K-I-S-S.
Yeah.
Keep it simple spiritually.
Stop taking life so damn seriously.
Yeah.
I lead spirit walks, and I didn't know what that meant. It just came to me. Lead spirit walk. And what that means is get people out in nature and have ceremony.
Yeah.
And the ceremony will come. So Ruth, you're right on. I'm so glad you brought up that point about getting back out. Our kids need to be back out in nature and get off their and just bring them back out there. I dragged my daughter on my last spirit walk. She did not want to go. She's 14 and a half, she didn't want to go, and we went. And at the end, she said, "Well, it wasn't so bad. I really liked it." thank you. I'm so glad I was firm.
Right.
I said, "Nope, you're going."
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We're out of time here. I can't thank all of you for being such awesome guests on the show.
Thank you.
And I hope everybody got a little piece of the conference, a little piece of the love and the joy and the orbs coming in here and all the spirit beings and everything else, and hopefully you can feel all this bliss over the airwaves and the love and joy and the pod mentality that's being created here. And, you know, hopefully you all tune into that, you know, that dolphin energy and that pure love and joy and bliss vibration. And then send it out to your family, send it out to the universe, and send it out to those wonderful UFOs that are up there waiting to make contact, and tell them we could really use your help about now.
Amen. Please.
Well, this is James Gill with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.
Woo-hoo!